Sourcing Matters Podcast. This is your host, Aaron Niederhelman, sharing stories of our food. And welcome back to Sourcing Matters. This is your host, Aaron Niederhelman. Today, I'm joined by my friend and confidant, Lisa Sebesta. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Aaron.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. How are things with you? What's going on?
Oh, gosh, things are going well. It's a beautiful day here in Boston, and we're sitting here in the Boston Public Market, where there's a lot of activity going on, which you could probably hear in the background, but it's an exciting time.
It is exciting times. Thank you for joining. Thank you for setting up today's conversation, by the way.
My pleasure.
Hey, Lisa, a little bit about your background, and then we'll jump into today's conversation. Sounds good. All right. As founder of Centauri Capital, Lisa Sebesta works with investors to evaluate and manage impact direct investments in private companies that align with their values. She is also the managing partner of Fresh Source Capital, a general partner investment fund focused on the sustainable food and agricultural sector. Previously, Lisa served as a consultant for the Fair Food Fund and spent 15 years as an equity analyst and portfolio manager for investment firms Battery March Financial Management and Boston Advisors. Lisa is an advisor and a board observer to several food and agricultural businesses throughout the Northeast, including Ocean Approved, Farmers to You, Big Picture Beef, and the Boston Public Market. Look at that. And Lisa, you were my first guest on Sourcing Matters, episode one.
That's right. It was really fun to do that. I'm really glad to be back here co-hosting. It's great.
Way back then, all the way back in episode one. So thank you again for taking the time to join as co-host. Awesome.
My pleasure.
So Lisa, let's talk a little bit about regional food, if we could, to begin the conversation. What's going on with local and regional food here in the Northeast?
Well, I think there's still a lot going on. I think it's a really exciting time to be in local and regional food. And when we started Fresh Source Capital 6 years ago, many people asked us if this movement was a fad. And, you know, we thought absolutely not. And I think time has proven that there's growing interest in local and regional food and supporting local farmers. I think the Boston Public Market is definitely shows that there's a lot of interest in what's going on around here. So I think it's great.
Yeah. You have been involved through your current venture and then previously with Fresh Source in actually investing and cultivating some of these new opportunities within the production space, the value add space, the processing space. Do you think we're at a point where capacity is growing to a point that we're going to service the needs of the 35 million New England and New Yorkers?
Well, I think it's still very early, and I think if you were to look at, you know, what percentage of the New Englanders' food plate comes from local sources, it's still pretty small. It's probably still less than 10%. That said, what I've experienced, and I'd be curious to hear your thoughts too, is that farmers are incredibly resilient and really are dedicated to feeding people. And if you engage with them and provide outlets for their products, that they are very amenable to growing and serving this population. So I think there's still a lot of opportunity for growth. I mean, that said, we are in New England, and so, you know, 35 million people is a lot of people to feed. Will we ever be able to provide all of their food needs? Probably not. I mean, people are still always going to want bananas and oranges and coffee, all those good things. But I definitely think we could continue to capture more of the local plate with local sources.
Yeah. Especially when we get into the protein side of things.
Especially on proteins, certainly seafood. Yeah. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, hey, so it's mid-May, and that means many of us will be visiting local farmers markets coming in the summer, right? Seasonal pop-ups in parking lots, parks, schools, and basically everywhere all over the country. In fact, there are nearly 9,000 farmers markets throughout the U.S. generating over $1 billion in sales. But despite the enthusiasm, are we making a big enough dent with the local approach? You see, grocery sales in the U.S. still remain strong, and traditional grocery sales have topped $620 billion and are increasingly on the rise every year. So, we've got a lot of ground to cover to reach parity. heck, we got a lot of ground to cover for farmers markets, even close to crossing the chasm, never mind being a competitor to what we're talking about for grocery. So we do have a long way, but we're learning, we're moving forward, right? And we're figuring out that farmers markets, which grew at such a high skyrocketing rate, have to evolve along with that. The seasonality of farmers markets, the lack of convenience of only being open 1 or 2 days a week, the limited hours that you have to show up or wait in lines, and also for the producers, taking the producers off the farm, getting them to work a booth, which they don't necessarily want to be doing, is some of the practices I think that have been hindering the growth of farmers markets, or more maybe adoption of that. So will that throttle the growth and adoption of farmers markets moving forward? We'll have to see. Turns out there's a better solution out there, and many solutions address these problems and these concerns, but are still focused on the local cadence and the format of the modern consumer that's looking to meld in some of this better local food with provenance into their day-to-day. So today, as Lisa, you had mentioned, we're live recording from the Boston Public Market on Hanover Street, right downtown here in Boston, Massachusetts. And the market, the Boston Public Market, is in fact one of these innovative models set up for evolving how we source and consume food right here in the Northeast United States. Today, we're welcomed by CEO of the Boston Public Market Association, Cheryl Cronin. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi, Aaron. Great to be here.
Well, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for bringing us in.
Hey, we love having you here.
Awesome. And also joining us today is the Director of Community Engagement, Carrie DeWitt. Hey, Carrie, how you doing?
Hey, Aaron. I'm great. How are you?
Doing all right. Thank you. So we're here to learn more about what is going to happen in the future of food systems, as we always talk about on Sourcing Matters. And we really always try to focus on these solutions of change. And as I mentioned in the intro, we do have some problems with our farmers markets. They were set up as an interesting idea, a first iteration, but the consumer, I think, may be looking for that next iteration for us to help get them to buy more of our products, to take those next steps, and ultimately to increase our production capacity here in the Northeast and really everywhere, and knowing where your food comes from. So let me read a little quick statement about the Boston Public Market, and then we'll jump into some of the conversations. The Boston Public Market launched in 2015 as a year-round indoor market with a mission of bringing seasonal and local food to Boston's downtown crowd. Everything sold at the market initially comes from somewhere in New England, although I did see we have lemons now, so maybe not virtually everything. Somewhere in New England. This includes everything from seafood to ice cream to fresh produce. It is operated by the Boston Public Market Association, a nonprofit organization born from the collaboration between the City of Boston and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So, Cheryl, let's start with you. Can you talk a bit about your objectives with this bustling innovation space and modern rev of a four-season farmers market?
Absolutely. Thanks, Aaron. And I think that's a great place to start. And in some ways, to think about this in relation to farmers markets and that movement. We like to think of the Boston Public Market in some ways as a farmers market on steroids and a year-round farmers market, but that also is a little bit of a hybrid in terms of we offer more of what you can find at a more conventional grocery market. And that's what we're looking for, because we basically want folks to think of this as a place to come all year round. We actually run 3 farmers markets ourselves in Boston, and we're really proud of those. And in those markets, we focus just on local sourcing and farmers who are focused on that, obviously. But the Boston Public Market is, in many ways, the only one of its kind in the country. We have a very strong emphasis on local. It is true that we just recently sort of opened the envelope a little bit, and we are allowing a few of our produce farmers to sell some tropical fruits that are never grown in New England, maybe because the customers asked for it and the farmers asked for an opportunity to be able to sell things in the wintertime.
Hey, and it's our reality, right?
Exactly. We gotta do it, yeah. Lisa did identify an issue, which is that we love the idea of all local, But the reality is we are sitting in New England. And there's a lot of things in the world we can change, but one thing we really can't change is the weather, putting aside climate change and what we need to do on that front. So that's we're very mindful of that. So what we do here is we are offering a food grocery experience to a range of customer segments. And by that, we mean we offer produce, we offer protein, meat and fish, we offer specialty products, we offer some artisan products as well, and we offer some fast casual food, because that is basically what the consumer is looking for when they go to a food market.
Absolutely.
So, Cheryl, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about what differentiates the Boston Public Market from other markets around the country.
Sure. You know, we've really been privileged, even though we've only been open a couple years. We have won so many awards. We were named last year, I think it was by Condé Nast Traveler, as one of the top five public markets in the country. Here's what distinguishes us for now. I believe we are more committed than any other public market to retaining grocery and to making sure that we don't become simply a food hall. And this is not in any way to diminish the value and importance of some wonderful food halls that create great experiences for consumers. But when we think about the definition of a public market, we think of a place where basically you can get food to eat on the spot, food to take home for your family, and food to take home to cook for your family. So a real range of things. So we feel we have we are really trying to sort of stay committed to what a public market was many years ago, and to really give the consumer and our visitors that that experience rather than just a food hall experience.
Would you compare it to a European market?
Yes, we love that. And, you know, anyone who's been to Europe knows sort of the joys of shopping for food in a great European city, and how you go from shop to shop and you buy individually, just as we want people to do here at our stalls. And you sort of interact more with the food itself. And that becomes an experience in and of itself, and much more fun.
Interesting. It's like when you see the little snails on the menu in Europe, right? Maybe we can have an oyster here, something like that.
Yes.
Something different,
and,
right?
And in the same way, you know, you might, if you go buy a piece of fish at Red's Best,
yeah,
that fish might have been in Vineyard Sound this morning.
That's right.
You can't, there's nothing to compare to that.
Absolutely. Yeah, the taste, the experience, the satiation, all of that. All right. Hey, so Carrie DeWitt, let's go in. I'm going to read your bio here. I'll come back to Cheryl, and we'll talk more in depth about that, but... Carrie, so you are, as I mentioned, the Director of Community Engagement at the Boston Public Market Association. Carrie plans and implements the calendar of public and private programming and events to support the market's public impact and reach. Prior to her work at Boston Public Market, Carrie worked for the Assistant Director of the Ann Arbor Farmers Market, a 100-year-old outdoor market featuring over 140 growers and producers. And Carrie is another talented grad of the Agriculture and Food and the Environment Master's Program at the Friedman School of Tufts University, which I feel like half the people I bring on the show are from Tufts or affiliated from Tufts.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's a really good network.
Yeah,
it's a
fantastic.
Great school.
So Carrie, coming out of Tufts, you probably were able to evaluate numerous opportunities, had many options. Why did you decide to work at the Boston Public Market?
What I love most about my job, and really what I love most about the food system, is building a community around food. And so I saw a great opportunity to help the Boston Public Market do that. And I love doing that every single day. When I worked in Ann Arbor, I did the same thing, really helped people build a community around local and regional food. And so I saw that opportunity here and really wanted to be a part of it. I'll also say I love public markets and farmers markets in general. It's something I'm really passionate about. Farmers are the salt of the earth, and I think that they, you know, they're incredibly resilient, wonderful people, quirky, wonderful people, and I really enjoy working with them as well. So,
I guess there's a lot of similarities. Maybe the only folks that have much more to say about cold winters than New Englanders are folks from Michigan.
That's a very
so you
good
probably
point,
had
yeah.
similarity in dealing with those producers and.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the issues with seasonality, which is a big deal in getting local food to scale.
It is a huge issue. Yeah, seasonality is obviously always going to be an issue in climates where we can't grow year round. I will say, you know, in Michigan, we had a year-round outdoor farmers market, and this is obviously much better and much more advantageous for our farmers. I would watch the farmers come out in, you know, February and March in Michigan and just freeze in blizzards. We would be out there with heaters and trying to keep ourselves warm. So having an indoor market is such a special thing for Boston, and having the, you know, the vendors be able to be inside year-round is so important to their bottom line.
Absolutely, yeah. I think everything comes flash frozen in those months.
Yes, we sold a lot of frozen meat in those months.
Lisa.
Well, I definitely appreciate the fact that it's an indoor market. As Cheryl knows, I've brought my daughter here a few times. Once, you know, in the middle of the winter when it was a cold and rainy day, and I said, hey, let's go into the Boston Public Market, and she kind of gave me a hard time about it. And she was so delighted to come and check everything out. And then even a few weeks ago, there was the agricultural fair. Where you had some live animals in for kids. And so it's great to see, you know, the market appealing to such a broad audience. Mm-hmm. But I wondered if you could tell us a little bit more about some of the other events and kind of the mission around the community engagement piece that you work on.
Sure, yeah, of course. So like I said, we work very hard to build a community around food, and I think a lot of what we do is, you know, meeting people where they are and making sure that they don't leave the building without learning something about local food, about regional food, about why sourcing matters, about, you know, public health or nutrition. And so we try to find little ways to do that every day in addition to the large events that we run, like the Agricultural Festival. We're sitting right now in a new space that we've designated for some educational experiences here in the market called the Connections Corner. And so we do allow our vendors to use this space for free to teach classes or talk about their farms, their production methods. We've had people teach learn to knit classes here, some of our artisan vendors. Our floral vendor has taught floral design courses here. And so just being involved with that part of the food system, educating people on what our vendors are doing and why their products are so special, I think makes this spot that we're sitting in a really great resource for the market. Additionally, we just opened something called the Demonstration Station, which is allowing our producers to sample the products that they sell here and combine them with products from other vendors' stalls. So like Cheryl said, you know, we really have a commitment to grocery. And so increasing the size of people's grocery baskets when they're here by saying, hey, take some meat from Chestnut Farms and pair it with pasta from Law of Pasta and some vegetables with Stillman's Farms. And this is a great simple meal that you can create. And here's the three places you could go to buy it. That's going to be a great resource for our vendors as well.
If I could just add, I think what Carrie has talked about is sort of at the heart of who we are, which is that we are as well-rounded of a public market that you will find anywhere. So we're very focused on our BPM Grocers campaign to make sure that people buy our great local food and take it home to cook and feed their families. But we also want to offer you a great experience, and that's what we do through our festivals, great events that we run all the time. And we talk every day as a team about those different pieces of our mission to support farmers, to support people selling other items you find in a grocery store, but to also create a feeling here, an ambiance, an experience that makes you want to be here.
Yeah, I one of my first experiences here was coming to your kitchen, and which is a very unique place because we're right downtown here in the middle of Boston. Real estate is prime. And you've got this wonderful large gathering space and kitchen where you can showcase something new. It's really like a teaching center. It's a knowledge share center for your vendors, but also I think for getting the word out about things. How has that been received by the community and also by your patrons?
Very well. We always obviously want to encourage more people to come in and shop for groceries here and cook, and the kitchen is very focused on having that happen. I think in a way, as Carrie said, I think between the kitchen and then the demonstration station that we've now set up directly in the market, we are really, and also the development of our Dinner Tonight program where we provide recipes. We've done two cookbooks as a Boston Public Market. So we're very focused on, you know, creating an opportunity for our vendors to sell their food, but then creating an opportunity for you, the visitor, to shop for food and learn how to cook with really great food.
Hmm. All right, Cheryl, I'm going to read a little bit about your background, and we'll dive into a couple questions. So Cheryl Cronin is the CEO, as we mentioned, of the Boston Public Market Association since January of 2016. Prior to her current work, she was an attorney for 30 years. There you go. We won't hold that against you, right? And she served as the general counsel for the 2004 Democratic National Convention in Boston and currently serves as the board of trustees for the Boston Public Library and on the board of Sail Boston. Additionally, Cheryl received an Eleanor Roosevelt Award from the Massachusetts Democratic Party and the Abigail Adams Award from Massachusetts Women's Political Caucus. She has been on Boston Magazine's list of 50 most powerful women. Great stuff. So with that impressive background, with it seems to be a thread of political, how come you're not running for president? Why are you focused on food and why local food?
I had spent many years both being a lawyer and also very involved in politics. I was very involved in the Obama campaigns in 2008 and 2012 and had the real great privilege of serving as the Massachusetts State Council and on the president's national legal team. And those were really wonderful experiences. And in some ways, campaigns are about believing in something and investing in the community of campaign workers. And it's a very team-oriented approach. And then, frankly, I believe that life should be full of chapters. And I woke up one day and said, I'm ready for a different kind of chapter. I'd been a lawyer for a long time. I'd sort of, you know, once you've worked on a great presidential campaign as an attorney and as a supporter, there's not much you can do from that. And I wanted to do something different. And I was lucky enough to have the board of directors support me. And here we are.
That's fantastic. And it's easier to get out of that, I think, when we have the current administration. There was no question if you're going to go contribute to that one, right?
I'll say.
Yes. You woke up hungry one morning. You're like, I got it. Itch for this. Lisa.
So, yeah, I know you've taken over the CEO about 4 years ago. No, sorry, 3 years ago now. We talked about the challenges of having an open market year-round. What's been the biggest surprise or the biggest obstacle that you guys have faced that you've had to try to overcome?
Really great question. I think it's sort of both the biggest challenge and the greatest joy, which is the need to support our farmers and food entrepreneurs who are here. And the reality is that the mission of the market is such that we're going to have people that are basically either, you know, working their farms 24 hours a day or engaged in small startup food businesses. People who are in that world, they're not in it for the money. I mean, obviously they need to make money, but they're in it for the mission and the joy of what they do, and they're really committed to it. So it's making sure that we provide the level of support that we can as a team and sharing with them. I mean, and we meet every day with vendors. We just had a meeting this morning with one of our farms and talked about the challenges they're having, you know, and our work even comes down to, on the one hand, how can we do a lease extension with you that will work for you from a business perspective, and what are other things we can do to support you?
Yeah, I think what's great about the market is when I look around, I see a lot of vendors that I don't see in other places, which is, I think, was really unique. It's not full of chains. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that. You know, what's some of the support that some of these small vendors might need?
Right. Well, you're right. We curate the market. We get applications from folks. We will not have chains in here. This is about supporting New England farmers and food businesses. But that means that, you know, they're still trying to figure it out, too. I mean, sometimes the level of support can even just be, frankly, shortly after I came in, it was clear to me that the rents for the farms were a little high in terms of what was sustainable for them. We didn't want to create a situation where farms would leave the market. So we restructured our entire rent situation so that our farms pay a reduced rate compared to others. So that creates a financial benefit for them being here. And at the same time, folks who operate in the fast casual prepared food space would acknowledge that they're going to tend to be the most profitable. So we adjust the rent structures accordingly, which is a little different than what you would find in a typical place where the landlord just has an attitude of, I'm just going to get from you every dollar per square foot I can for the next year, and I don't care whether that means that you won't be here the year after that. that. We're looking for long-term relationships and their long-term health. But it's even down to helping them find some of their employees, providing a lot of marketing support for them. We have a terrific marketing team. Focusing on what Carrie spends her time on, which is doing festivals that they participate in that bring people into the market. We average at this point 2.5 million people a year into the Boston public market. At the risk of sounding of bragging, that's an amazing statistic. Those number of visitors is more than what many Boston institutions that have been around for a long time are seeing. And that's because we do our community engagement efforts, our marketing efforts are incredible. And that benefits our vendors because while every person who comes into the market isn't necessarily a sale, if someone isn't coming into the market, they are not a sale. So we're very focused on getting foot traffic into the market and getting visitors here.
Mm. Carrie, let's pull a thread a little bit here, what Cheryl was talking about, and the fact that you have to, as community engagement manager, you have to work with your vendors, you have to deal with the farmers, both in festivals and keeping them happy. So could you give us some scenarios, some examples, some anecdotes of things that you've run into over the last couple of years that maybe a bit surprising?
Sure. I would say, we work with businesses in all stages. I mean, like Lisa said, most of the businesses here, you're not going to find anywhere else. And so there are a lot of real challenges involved with that, but there's also a lot of really kind of lovely bright spots, which are things that, if you bring students around the market, I think if you went to a traditional market hall or you maybe went to a grocery store, the customers or the students that try to engage with the people that are working at the stalls might not be as interested in educating the next generation about what they do. And here at the market, one of the great things that's always surprising to me is that when I bring a group of children up to a stall where maybe they are trying to sell or trying to restock their shelves or trying to do other things, they always take time for the kids. They always want to talk to them about what they're doing in the market. And I think that's a really special situation. I've really only had in all of my time working here and the thousands of kids I brought through the market one or two times where somebody's been grumpy and doesn't want to talk to them. And so that's always very surprising to me, that just their willingness to talk about what they do, to take time out of their business for education. It's a really special thing that people are willing to do here. And every time I lead a group of 42 kindergartners through the market like I did last Friday, and I think, oh my God, how is this going to go? And it goes well, and everyone's excited to meet them and talk about their fish, talk about the eggs. I always think, like, wow, that's a really special thing. We couldn't do that many other places. So that's a scenario that comes up a lot that I always think, is this going to crash and burn? And then it doesn't. So that's pretty, pretty special.
That is fantastic. I can say that I wish I held to that same high accord. I have my mornings when I wake up from not enough sleep, and I'm like, maybe pushing too many buttons.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
like I said earlier, I was really delighted at how much my daughter, who's now 10, enjoyed coming through the market. And I think it's kind of a combination of the layout, and it's a very engaging place to walk around in. There's also places for, kids to just kind of sit and play and relax, but there's also plenty of opportunities for them to get, a healthy snack, or even sometimes a not-so-healthy snack, maybe some fudge or a cider donut, which are always delicious. So can you talk to us a little bit more about some of the upcoming events that you have?
Sure, yeah. So our next big market-wide event is at the end of June, and it's an Oyster Fest that we do in conjunction with Red's Best. This is the second year that we're going to do this event, which we're really excited about. So they bring in shuckers, usually from the Cape, and four local oyster types, and shuck out on our plaza. It's a really great event. Last year it brought in over 11,000 people. They sell tickets so you can get a dozen, a half dozen, or single oysters. And there are a lot of people who, shockingly, because we're in New England, had never tried an oyster before, especially one from New England. So it was really great to see that happen. And the shuckers get really into it. They try to race each other for shucking times, and there's live live music, and we bring in a beer partner. Obviously, that's a very big part of the local agriculture scene in New England, and so we try to partner with them whenever possible as well. So we're really excited for that. And then at the end of the summer, at the end of August, we have our fermentation festival, which is, this is the 7th year of the fermentation festival and the 4th year that it's been hosted here at the Boston Public Market, but a really niche group of people who are interested in a very specific part of food, which is fermentation. So that's always fun too. It brings in a new crowd and a lot of new vendors as well.
And then if I could just add, our major event of the year is our harvest party, which this year is on Thursday evening, October 24th. It's an amazing event. It's a ticketed event. It's also our major fundraiser of the year because we are a 501c3, and we couldn't do our community engagement activities if we didn't do that. And that is a really fun event. We typically have 800 or 900 people in the market. We have music, so it's closed to the public except for those who are attending the event. And that's an event that we really focus on as an organization.
Great. It's like a big gala, huh? Nice.
Yes.
Good setup.
Tickets are available at a reduced price right now if you go to our website.
All right. I'll put a link on the write-up there. Mm-hmm. There we go. Cheryl, I understand that you're extending your reach to additional locations. New locations including Castle Island, which those guys at the Sullivan's Castle Island must be looking over your shoulder right there, right? No? You're familiar with that? I've taken my kids out there for many field trips when we go out there, and there's that one Sullivan's, which is right there.
Right.
So anyway, you got Castle Island, and a larger one, from my understanding, at Logan Airport.
Yes, we are so excited about this. We are opening a Boston Public Market at Logan in Terminal C, the JetBlue Terminal. Construction has begun. We expect to be open at some point in September. It's going to be fabulous. I mean, the concept of the Boston Public Market and local food and local food producers, not chains, as Lisa mentioned. So a really an offering to travelers through Logan that will be very different than what they're used to. And we're really excited about that. That is going to be a game changer for us. We've got lots of excitement going around that.
How large of a location is this?
It'll be about 6,000 square feet. We're taking 6 of our current vendors here with us, and we are also opening basically a Boston Public Market salad bar there. We'll have a place called Boston BPM on the Fly, which will enable you to pick up a few items before you hop on that flight. And then, of course, our favorite thing will be the market bar, where we are going to have a range of items for drink, but a lot of local craft beer and some local wines and spirits. So we're continuing the local theme at the airport, and also it's going to be really high quality food.
I think you can really pad those numbers of 2.5 million people that currently come to your market. Just say everyone that comes to Terminal C stops at the Boston Public Market.
Yes, we think 12 million. Correct. We're really
like
pleased. It's in the JetBlue terminal. I happen to love that airline, so it was definitely my my dream to sort of have us open there, and we think it's going to be great.
Maybe you both can comment on this, and Carrie, you had mentioned your program where you're looking at bringing in the raw materials, the products from your farmers, from your producers, and value-adding them and putting them into offerings as a collective. And I think you refer to it as your demonstration station. Maybe you both, if you could, share, where do you see that going? I think that's an incredible opportunity, to be honest, and looking at what the future CSAs could be and communities buying into not just production agriculture, but the actual finished products that we can be consuming as a collective. Where are you taking this, and what can consumers expect to see soon?
I think that's a great question, and a lot of our vendors already do a really good job of aggregating from one another. One of the really wonderful things about being a business located here is that you can source directly from your neighbors, and we do see that happen all the time. For example, George Howell Coffee, they only use milk from Crescent Ridge in their lattes here, and in their iced coffee, that's all they serve, which is a really wonderful partnership. In return, Crescent Ridge uses George Howell Coffee to make their coffee ice cream. Love Pasta is a really great example of this. So he makes handmade pastas here on site every day, and every day in his case there's something that's from another vendor, whether it's spice blends from Saluna Garden Farms or vegetables that come from Stillman's or Siena. He's very, very good at sourcing directly under this roof, which is something that's really exciting for all of us to see, is them collaborating in that way. So I think the demonstration station will give them a further opportunity to do that type of collaboration. I will tell you, we would love to get to a place where we could do like a meal kit box. I just saw that Amazon is in this space, so obviously there's intense competition. I don't think that it's something that we currently have the staff capacity to do, but perhaps someday, you know, if that's the way the trend continues, that would be a wonderful opportunity for us. One of the ways that we have tried to meet that challenge here is we do work with an online delivery service, and so you can order from all of our vendors and get it all delivered to one place. So it sort of fits that need, but the meal kit box obviously is a huge trend in the food industry, and one that I think a lot of people are doing well locally or regionally in some places. But yeah, I do hope that the demonstration station continues to encourage our vendors to collaborate and work together and think of ways that their products could be co-branded, because I think that's very important to their sales.
And if, just to add to that, that I do think, and one of the things we have explored and I anticipate for the future, the notion of some Boston public market finished products, which I think is, you know, clearly that value-added piece is really, it's important for our vendors and important for us, and we have begun to explore what kinds of products we might be able to do. BPM, we think, is a really strong brand. People want to come here. People trust the food that they get from here. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps a lot with the brand.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, any final thoughts that you have?
Well, you know, I was just thinking, what's my favorite thing in the market?
And what is your favorite thing in the market?
I would say the bagels.
Yeah,
they're delicious, and they're cooked on site. You can actually see them, you know, steaming over there. But they're delicious, and they're unique. They're unlike any other bagel that you find.
Mm-hmm. Right. And here's the other thing about the bagels. The Levin Bagelry, which was started by Alex Jung, who's a young man. He was basically making and selling his bagels on the street. And this was his first and his only retail location. He does everything here. He makes the batter, he prepares it, he cooks it, and he sells it. And he is, you know, one of these, a food entrepreneur who basically, if it weren't for the Boston Public Market, and I think he would certainly say this, we created an opportunity for him to do something that he likely would not have been able to do. Because for him to have gone into an individual retail location would have been extremely challenging. He comes into a place that already has an infrastructure, a physical infrastructure, but also a community and organizational infrastructure, and it's made it possible for him to do that. And we are so proud of him. And he is and then on top of it, the quality of his food is amazing.
Mm-hmm. So my question to you too is, what's your favorite item in the market?
I always respond to that as I do when one of my three kids says to me, I'm your favorite. No, I'm your favorite. Aren't I your favorite? There's so much great food in the market. Yeah. I mean, we're glad that our office is across the street in a fourth floor walk-up. And it's a good thing given how much we experience the food in the Boston Public Market.
That's great. Where can our listening audience learn more about what you're up to here at the Boston Public Market? Is the website the best spot?
We have an incredible website. Go to bostonpublicmarket.org, and then we'll encourage you to sign up and be a part of our newsletter community and our social media community, and you'll hear all about us because we are very active on those fronts.
Mm-hmm. I would say probably the best place is to come here.
Yes, there's nothing like it. And, you know, people come in sometimes, and the first time they come, they don't buy something, and we get it, but then they always come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good retention, I'm sure.
Yes.
And as far as the new locations, when will those be opening? When can we expect to see them?
So right now, we're just in the process of opening three farmers markets around the city, and Dewey Square, Boston Public Market at Dewey Square is open already. This week, we just opened Boston Public Market on City Hall Plaza, and then Boston Public Market at Seaport will be open in early June.
Well, I'll just close by saying I'm always amazed when people bring fast food on flights. I mean, what the hell, right? I mean, you get the smell of McDonald's that, like, creeps its way to every corner of the plane. These folks walking down the aisle, crop dusting their entire plane with hot bags of McNuggets and burgers, fries. It's terrible. So
come on, right? Enough's enough. And never mind when you get like a Panda Express where it's like a atomic bomb goes off inside an airplane. So eat good food before you get on a closed loop tin can for 7 hours headed to Alaska from Terminal C, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Especially when I'm on it. Okay. So yes, when I'm traveling for Alaska Air or Cape Cod Air or Portugal or JetBlue, I will be there encouraging my fellow passengers to eat good, healthy, clean food from Boston Public Market at their new location at Logan Airport. So, from the bottom of my heart, I'm just going to say that thank you for all your good work.
Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for spending time with us and coming to the market, and thanks to Lisa as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lisa, for taking the time.
Thank you.